This is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. It says this. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." And here it is. "Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I want to ask you as we open up this morning, do you remember your first car? Anybody in here remember like the first car you had growing up? I remember mine. I had an epic white work truck edition, long bed, single cab Chevy S10. Okay, if you know what I'm talking about, I mean, this was like, this car was, I mean, my truck bed was like 10 foot long, it felt like. I mean, it was not the car you went to go pick up ladies in, okay? But as a 16-year-old who was just getting into the driving game, like, I was so pumped to have some wheels, right, to get along. Now, here's the other thing. It was a stick shift, so I burned about 4 clutches out of that thing learning how to drive it. But it was awesome, right? And I remember that car. I remember I paid $1,500 for this truck from my neighbor. It was like a fleet edition thing. It had 100-something thousand miles on it when I got it. And I drove it for all through high school until, long story short, I fell asleep on the interstate and rolled it. But anyway, that's an illustration in itself. But, one of the things about that truck, you know, everything was working great in the truck, especially after we replaced the clutch in it. But the one issue that I never got fixed was that you had no idea how much gas was in the thing. Right? I mean, it was just, you just kind of, rocked it a little bit. Saw if you heard some sloshing or something. Like, I would literally fill up and reset my odometer every single time I took off. And I was basically going on what Google said this truck could go on a full tank of gas. And that worked sometimes. I remember so many times I would be driving down, very busy sections of highway, and my truck would just start jerking and then come to a stop. And then I would be out pushing this not so cool long bed Chevy S10 down the road or off to the shoulder, or asking someone to lift so I can go get some gas and come back and fill this thing up. It was crazy, right? I mean, this thing, you had no idea what was in it. It was empty all the time. And, I was thinking about that this morning, because I think there's some of us that walked into this room, not necessarily pushing a Chevy S10, but you've put your hopes in all kinds of things you believe are going to carry you through. You believe that your career is going to carry you. You believe that your kids are going to carry you. You believe that the money in the bank is going to carry you. You believe a relationship, maybe some experience that you give your life to, you give your hopes to, your dreams are placed in. And you think this thing can carry you to where you believe it's, you hope you're going. But in the end, what I think you find is, just like I did, that this thing is empty and leaves you stranded. And I tell you that story today because if that's you, maybe you come in here and you've realized, man, I've put my hopes in a lot of different things. I've put my thoughts in a lot of different things. I've put my heart into a lot of different things, and these things keep leaving me empty, pushing this thing through life, hoping that it's going to fill me, and it never does. That's why your track record shows itself. Right? You jump from one thing to the other. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's nothing settled in your life. If that's you this morning, there's good news in this story. There's good news in the resurrection story. It was early in the morning on that first Easter when the women went to the tomb.
Now, these were the same women who followed Jesus in his ministry. These were the same women who stood at the foot of the cross as they watched him crucified, as they took him down from the cross and they wrapped him and anointed his body and they put it in the tomb. These were those same women. And now those women have come back on that Sunday morning with spices in hand to anoint his body one more time. Now, why? Because Jesus, they knew this was going to be the last time that they saw him. And they knew as a sign of respect for him, as an act of adoration for him, they were going to anoint his body, to cover his body with spices to overcome the stench of death. Right, as his body would go on to decay, they wanted to show an act of love for Christ in this way. So they showed up early. You know, if people have speculated, why did the women show up early to the tomb? Why did they beat everybody to the tomb? Was it because in the Garden of Eden, if you remember, Adam and Eve took the fruit and because of her fall, ushered in death? Maybe this is in God's like beautiful story that the women were going to be the ones to get the first news of great life coming through Christ. I don't think that's why. I think it's because they got up early. I think that's why. I think they were the first ones at the tomb. Now, the other thing is beautiful, and maybe you could speculate, but I think it was just because they got up first, man. They showed up with spices in their hands. They had a thought of how this thing was going to go. They had a plan. They had prepared for this. They knew what it was that they were about to do, but they had a huge problem. You see, there was going to be a stone in the way of their access to Christ. And in the other gospel accounts, they literally say, there's a stone. There's going to be this stone. Who's going to roll the stone out of the way? And then what we see happen is as they approach the tomb, it says that there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descends from heaven, rolls the stone back. I love this. Just flexes, just sits down on it, right? Just like, what's up? The guards, they drop in fear. Probably for multiple reasons. Not only did an angel literally just show up from heaven, and any time in the Bible you see this happen, people are like dropped to their backs in fear. But beyond that, they had one job. You know, it's like you got one job, man. You had to guard the tomb. Like before they left the tomb unoccupied, they were fearful that the disciples would come and take the body of Jesus, that they would say it was risen, and that they would stir up something. So what did Pilate do? Pilate had a guard stand, watch over the tomb and sealed the tomb with a stone. And so right here, the angel comes, breaks the seals, rolls the stone back. The guards drop in fear. And then something is said to us, I do not want us to miss this morning. The angel says, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I just want to pause for a moment because I just want to ask the question, what are you seeking this morning? Like there's all kinds of realities present in this space. And on any Easter Sunday, you know you're going to get a couple different kinds of crowds. Right, you're gonna get the people that are here out of tradition. This is something we do a couple times. You know, we come at Christmas, we come at Easter, and we do this for tradition's sake. There's some of you that honestly you're here out of obligation, right? Like you're hoping that, you know, you're just trying to appease your spouse. You said, hey, come to this and I'll cook you a good lunch later. Right, whatever reason, some of you are here because you're committed, you're plugged in, because you are fully convinced that the tomb was empty, and so what happened on that day changes every day for you. You're here today because you're here every Sunday. Whatever reason you find yourself here today, I want to ask you again, what is it that you're seeking? Because the women came seeking something living in a place of death. And some of you are doing the same thing. You keep banking that you're going to find life in something that can't hold it. You keep thinking you're going to find life in an empty bottle. Then you're going to find life in another weekend party scene. You're going to find life in some relationship. You're going to find life in some website. You're going to find life in some affair. You're going to find life in all your career and whatever. You fill in the blank. What are you seeking? Where are you looking for life? They came looking for Jesus in a place that couldn't hold him. He says, he is not here. For he is risen. And then he just drops something so beautiful for us to pick up. He says, come see the place where he lay. I don't want you to miss. I want you to underline that in your Bible. This jumped off the page in my study this week. Just
grabbed a hold of my heart, and I think there's something beautiful in this. You see, the women were shaken at the core at what had just happened. They hadn't come, like you, beautiful in your pastels, like ready to encounter the presence of God. They weren't coming for a worship service. This wasn't on their radar. Right? They came with provisions. They came with spices. They came with things to anoint the body of Jesus with. They knew how this thing was going to go, right? It's like, we're going to come. We've done this before. You see the similarities? Some of you have done the same. You've come with a plan. You've come before. You've done this. You know how this is going to go. And encountering the presence of God is not on your radar this morning. It hasn't even registered to you. But then in an instant, everything changed for the women at the tomb. The angel says, look where he lay. I want you to come in this tomb or stoop at the entrance, and I want you to put your eyes on the place where the dead body of Jesus was laying. This isn't just a passing detail for us. In this passage, what this angel says is an imperative. It's stressed. It's as if the angel is saying this. Don't blow by this church on Easter Sunday. Don't overlook this on your way to lunch, on your way to watch the Vols win and go to, you know, the Final Four. Don't do that. Come and see it. Don't overlook it. Come and see it. Behold it. Consider it. Take it in. Marinate on this truth. Come and see the place where he lay. I want to make sure you get this. Because the angel didn't roll the stone away. I think we get this idea that the angel rolled the stone out of the way because Jesus was knocking at the stone door, like ready to get out. Man, he's like, bro, let me out of here. That's not why. Jesus wasn't there. He was already out. The stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus get out and walk. The stone was rolled away so you can look in and witness. That you could witness the power of God to raise his son. The angel came from heaven to roll the stone so that the women could peer in. So in the other gospels, we can say Peter and John stooped to look, and so that you and I could all be amazed at the reality of an empty tomb. Because if the tomb is empty, then everything changes. Everything changes. Let me tell you why. Because if the tomb is empty, it means that he really is who he said he was. If the tomb is empty, it means that Jesus really is then the bread of life. He really is living water. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, the empty tomb is a wake-up call for the world. Because if the tomb is really empty, then we are really sinners and Jesus really did come to save us. If the tomb is empty, then Jesus really did lay down his life as a perfect sacrifice for all those who would place faith in him. He really did. And God really has raised his son to guarantee us that the payment was paid in full. If the tomb is empty, then Jesus really does have all authority in heaven and earth. He really is holding all things together with a word of power, and every knee really will bow before him. Look, if the tomb is empty, then Jesus isn't a dead man. He is a risen king. And you can't shelf this story. You can't overlook this story. You can't archive this story. You have to deal with this story. The onus isn't on Jesus. Jesus is Lord, whether we want to believe that or not. The tomb is empty, whether we want to open our eyes to that reality or act as though it didn't happen or, you know, shelf it with the Easter bunny or whatever else. But the tomb is empty this morning, and it demands something from us. And the best part of this is this. Like I started with, I want to give this back to you. If the tomb is empty, the best truth for you this morning is that your life does not have to be. You don't have to push something through life that can't hold you, that can't carry you. Because the tomb is empty, your dying marriage can have new life. Do you know that? Because the tomb is empty, your pointless career can finally have purpose because it's not about you. It's about the glory of God and the mission of God. Because the tomb is empty, your addiction can be broken this morning. Your relationships can be mended. That dark night of depression you struggle with can give way to the glorious light of hope. Because the tomb is empty, everything changes. Think about it. It changed for every woman at the tomb present that day. They came expecting a stone in their way, and they left believing in a Savior. It says they left the tomb. They ran away from the tomb quickly, it says, with fear and great joy, and everything about them changed. They had to tell somebody about it. It changed everything else about the others who came to see. Peter and John would come to look in. And you remember John tells you that he beat Peter to the tomb? You know what tells us, the rest of Scripture and church history tells us? That John would look in and he'd be so gripped by what he saw that he would face persecution, isolation, and exile. And he would later give his life for the faith that he believed confirmed at the empty tomb. Peter would look in and he would be this man who previously, you got to get this, who had previously denied Jesus three times, that he even knew him. Church history tells us would be crucified upside down, not worthy to bear the same death as his Lord and Savior. You don't die for a lie. You don't die for a lie. These men were fully convinced of an empty tomb. And that empty tomb was previously the place of their greatest problem. Their Savior, they're the one that they loved, their leader had died. What are we going to do? The place of their greatest problem because of the empty tomb was now the source of their greatest promise that their empty lives could be full. Their futures could be full. Their hearts could be full because of an empty tomb. You see, the empty tomb changes everything. I've read a story this week, and I was reminded because last week I got to go on a field trip with my daughter. I'd never been on a field trip with her yet, and it was to the zoo, so I was pumped. But then here's the kicker. It was at the zoo with a class of first graders. And so I love the zoo, and I love my daughter. I don't know if I love the zoo and my daughter and first graders, you know. But anyway, so we went and it was awesome. There were times, I will tell you, I was thinking the tiger cage looks pretty good. You know, like I let me go lay down with the cougars, you know. It's like I'll take my luck there. But anyway, so I went with my daughter to the zoo and we had a good time. But it reminded me of another first grade class that my wife's a teacher. So I had heard this story of this class of first graders. The teacher gave them this project. It was springtime, and she gave them all these large eggs to take home and to fill with signs of new life, right? Like it's spring, you know, the flowers are budding, the grass is growing. Go home, fill this up, talk about it, bring it back and talk about what you filled your egg with and why it gives you, you know, why it promises new life. And so these kids went home and they returned the next day, and the teacher calls the first kid up, and kid opens up the egg, and a bunch of grass just falls out. Now this is probably the grass his dad worked really hard, you know, to make it look good. He just took a handful of it and put it in the egg, and it was right there. He said, you know, it's spring and the grass is growing. So we know that, you know, the grass and the plants and everything are budding in the season. Everybody's like, good job. Clap for him. Awesome. The next kid comes up, opens up the egg, and he had captured a butterfly, and now that butterfly wasn't alive, but he opened up the egg, the butterfly drops out, and he's like, you know, it was alive, I promise, and, you know, new life, and you get it, right? And then the next kid opened it up, and it was a tulip that he had pulled out of his mom's flower garden, and it was mangled, and she's like, you know, new life, the flowers, again, you get it. The next kid comes, and he brings his egg to the teacher, opens it up, and there's nothing in it. And all the kids, you know, like a bunch of first graders, start making fun of the kid. You had one job, right? Like you blew it, you know? Like you're supposed to fill it up with something, guy, you know? And the teacher's like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. No, seriously, why didn't you put anything in the egg to show with the class? And he says, well, because the tomb was empty, and because it was, I can have more life than anything I could put in it. Now listen, I tell you that story this morning because here's what I know to be true. Every one of us are trying to fill our life with something. We're trying to fill it with kids. We're trying to fill it with a promising career. We're trying to fill it with a future, with whatever dream you've placed in that egg. What are you filling your life with? And let me just say this to you, because what the story calls us to see is if we're filling our life with anything but the one who emptied the tomb, it will not fill you. It will not do it. So listen to me. I don't know why you're here. I really don't. I don't know why you're here this morning. I don't know. Even those of you that I know, I don't know what's going on in your soul. I could presume we've had conversations. But this is for you to consider today. What are you filling your life with? What are you placing your hope in? Because the tomb is empty, you don't have to walk through life the same. The tomb is empty. That means you can place all your hopes in it. You can place all your dreams in it. You can place your marriage in it. You can place your kids in it. You can place your past in it. You can place your failures in it. And because it's empty, there is one who is ready to give you life abundantly. And so right now, the band's going to come, and we're going to move to a time of response. But I want to just give this as an opportunity to be remiss. If you're here today and you say, hey, I don't know, Matt, as I'm hearing this story of this empty tomb, as I hear this message today, this is nothing that I've said, by the way. This is, if the Holy Spirit right now is opening your eyes, is doing a work in your heart to reveal that if you were to open up your life before the Lord, maybe your job would fall out of it. Maybe your family would fall out of it. Maybe your bank account, your hobbies, your relationships would fall, but you wouldn't open it and find Christ at the center of it. If that's you today, I want to let you know that there is one who wants to replace your empty life with the fullness of joy, of purpose, of peace, and it comes through a relationship with Christ and Christ alone. And the gospel is this, that you are broken and you cannot clean yourself up. So again, some of you came here today and you came like the women to the tomb with a big problem, that your sin has separated you from a holy God. Some of you came here with expectations. Again, you thought you knew how this would go. You didn't have this on your radar, but something happened in this service and the Holy Spirit in you is speaking to you now. And he is opening your eyes to the emptiness of your life, the futility of your life, the futility and the hopelessness of the things you're placing your hopes and your dreams in. Maybe you've come and this today was like the women at the tomb with a handful of spices ready to just cover up the death inside of you. One more attendance of an Easter service, one more boost of tradition, one more spot of morality. It will not do. But if you would turn to Christ, trusting what he did on that cross, believing that God did raise him from the dead, the scripture says you will be saved. You don't have to wonder. You can know that today. I would love to have that conversation with you after service. I'll be right out front here. Come find me. And I'd love to sit down with you. We can follow up this week, or we can talk right now. Don't leave here today like so many who come to the tomb and we walk away from it as though nothing happened. Because the tomb's empty, everything changes. And if you do know Jesus, there's a beautiful prescription for how you leave this place today. How did the women leave the tomb? Well, the passage tells us that they left with fear and great joy, in awe, in amazement at what Jesus had done, in great joy, passionate. Listen, I shouldn't have to say, hey guys, let's sing today. Let's lift our hands. It's probably a good reason to be here this morning. Like, you see the reality of an empty tomb and it should call worship out of you. You see what happened? Jesus showed up and what did it do? They took hold of his feet and it says they worshiped him. Oh, we're about to sing in a moment. We're going to have a video that's going to play. It's going to have a compilation of all the baptisms that have happened, not just in this campus, but around our campuses in this past year. God's been so faithful to us. We've seen these stories like you saw earlier. Man, marriage is redeemed. People that had lifestyles of sin and identity struggles that now have identified themselves based on the cross of Christ.
People who have lost loved ones, that are finding peace. Not that they're going to get those loved ones back, but they have peace because of the reality of an empty tomb. People who are struggling with fertility issues, struggling to have babies, struggling to believe. They can look in the tomb and they can realize that Christ is enough. He has purchased them. That he has a plan for them. That he is Lord. Oh, listen, I don't know what you're struggling with today. Just because you have the pastel on doesn't mean that you have to project some reality that's not true inside of you. For whatever struggle you have, for whatever pain you find, the tomb can hold it. The tomb can hold it. So today, I want to call us, man, to take hold of the feet of Christ in worship. To worship him for what he has done, to believe that he is Lord, to not fear the future, not fear the future of your family, fear the future of this country, fear the future of whatever. Man, we look to Jesus, we say, you are Lord. Thank you for the empty tomb. And then you know what they did at the end? They went and told everyone. That's your task today. Go tell everyone as quickly as you can that the tomb is empty. Because that's true, your life doesn't have to be. Amen. I pray for you. Father, I love you. God, thank you for what you're doing in this church, what you've done in this community, Father, in the lives of those that are in this room. God, we believe that you are so powerful. We don't come today like many have to go to the place of their dead leader or the place of the one that they venerate and remember the place of their bones. God, we go to it every year. We come again to be faced with the reality of an empty tomb. Our Lord is risen, and he is seated now at the right hand of the Father. The work he came to accomplish is finished, and now he's working through the lives of believers here. And so, Lord, change us, use us for your glory. God, fill us up to overflowing with joy and peace today. No matter what we're walking in, God, give us a vision of the beauty of Jesus and help us to trust him for all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that the tomb is empty. And because of that truth, God, we have so much to celebrate. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand together. Let's worship this morning.